Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is American Conservative Party Radio. I am your host, Tracy Coyle. Apparently, I don't understand the concept of cross-marketing. I have been failing to at least once a show talk about our website, AmericanConservativeParty.org. So if you have an interest in conservative politics, please stop by the website, see what we have to offer, see what we're all about. Each state has its own website that's linked to the national site, so that if you live in Wisconsin, you can find us at WisconsinConservativeParty.org. Or if you live in Colorado, ColoradoConservativeParty.org. Check it out. There are 50 state organizations out there already willing and waiting for you. With the conventions in the news, I want to talk about our tent, the conservative tent. Right now, there are dozens of people that have radio shows right here on Blog Talk Radio talking about conservative issues. There are generally hundreds of blogs written by conservatives on issues that are important to them, although finding them has been a little bit of a chore. Start talking about animals and start talking about pet hobbies, and those conservative politics get lost among all those general discussions. They're out there. Big blog sites like Red State focus on politics from a conservative point of view, and some sites like Daily Pundit is a general blog written by a conservative, Bill Quick, who is the founder of the American Conservative Party here. But generally speaking, we're not a very homogeneous group. We're pretty much single-issue people. People like me have talked about social conservatives and economic conservatives and national security conservatives. And each type of conservative has his or her pet issue. My pet issue was the Bankruptcy Reform Act. That's what got me out of the Republican Party. Other people last year, immigration was their big issue. Now energy is a big issue. These are things that we focus in on that bring us back into politics. National security conservatives want to make sure that we're secure, that our military is strong, our borders are secure. Economic conservatives want to make sure the government has the money it needs, but that those needs are a very small subset of what people want government to do. I, generally speaking, am an economic conservative. I'm very much interested in the money issues, taxes, how government spends money, what programs it gets involved in. Those are things that are important to me directly. For me, it's stay out of my wallet. The less government has money to spend freely, the less government we have. Then there are the social conservatives. Am I opening a kettle of worms here? Many fights in the last 10 or 20 years in conservative circles have revolved around social issues. Few issues can get a rise out of a conservative like abortion or gay marriage. If you want to start a yelling match around conservatives, start talking about those issues. Get us into a room, and you won't get one conservative voice. You'll get a shouting match. Or worse, you'll end up with two or three groups that are totally disgusted with the third group. We are perfect examples of individualism. Even when you can get conservatives on board, getting them out actually working on issues is almost impossible. You bring up activism in conservative circles and eyes will roll so fast you'd swear you're looking at a Las Vegas slot room. Conservatives tell you they're too busy. Family, work, actually making things happen to get involved in some kind of protest or some kind of march. I understand that. And to a great extent, I agree. Having a family, raising kids, work, or business takes a lot of time and energy. It leaves very little room or time to worry about the politics in Washington or in some state capital. But it's an excuse. We have an obligation, a personal obligation, to take responsibility for our actions. It is a fundamental tenet of conservative thought that we have the right to vote, but it is our responsibility to be educated voters. We must take the time to understand the issues and the candidates running for office. And in this area, most of us have failed. Conservatives have to work together to bring conservative thought back into the political process, not just in how we vote, but in the people we support. I've talked about what drove me back into the political process, and most conservatives have similar stories, especially the ones that are part of the American Conservative Party, people that are actively looking at what's going on right now in the Republican Party and even in the Democratic Party. Issues may have slapped us upside the head, but once we understood the situation, most of us found the problem was not having the wrong position being espoused, but the wrong principle being espoused. So, the tent. How big is the conservative tent? How far do we want to stretch the coverage of the conservative tent? What supports the tent? Because if we don't have any supports, then what we've got is a lot of people walking on some canvas and nobody actually getting covered by it. The first pillar of support in the conservative tent, in my opinion, is the individual is sovereign. This is the source of all government power and authority. Individuals give their assent to governance. The fundamental unit of politics is not government. It is not society. It is not the political party. It's the individual. Second pillar, our rights. We arrive on this earth with all the rights inherent in our existence. No government, no society, no party, no others bestow those rights upon us. We owe no human or human organization established or implied for the rights that we hold. If we can imagine it, if we have the ability and the resources, our actions are ours to take and live. The only limit to those rights are the extent that those rights can infringe upon others. We may give government the ability to limit or infringe or even deny the free expression of our rights, but those rights are ours and they cannot be taken away by anyone, by anything but death. Third pillar, our responsibility as individuals that are sovereign with infinite rights. Boy, is that one going to get me some trouble. Please tell me that you don't get the idea of infinite rights. We have a responsibility to exercise those rights with respect to others. We must take care that we do not infringe upon others. We must take care to exercise those rights with the full knowledge of the consequences of those actions. And we must understand that those rights that we claim for ourselves are not diminished by other people using those rights. That each right we claim for ourselves is available for anyone else to exercise to the best of their abilities, their resources and the limits of others. There is a corollary. I'm having so many problems with that word. Corollary to this. Respect. And I'll spend some time talking about it next week. The fourth pillar that supports the conservative tent. I've had some concerns about. Some people say it doesn't really address a political party or a political philosophy, but I think it's important. It's American exceptionalism. And this is why I think it's important. Without an agreement by us as individuals to form a society and government that allows the fullest expression of the rights we have, everything else fails. Regardless of the rights individuals have in China or Iran or Saudi Arabia, those societies and governments deny almost all freedom of expression of those rights. Here in the United States, the inherent rights of the individual are both acknowledged, and the freedom to express them is greater than anywhere else. This exceptionalism, this uniqueness of the United States, is shared by several other countries. Not, I believe, to the extent that it is here. It makes us probably unique on the planet. I might consider that Australia or even Great Britain might have a close to the same level of freedom. But the United States is the pinnacle of that. Not saying that we can't get further, but that's what I think is important. If society, if we as citizens of the United States say, hey, you know, this freedom stuff, just getting out of hand, we're much more interested in having a dictator or a monarchy. You know, let's just cut these choices down to size. Instead of having 120 boxes of cereal, let's just limit it to 4. I mean, Cheerios, Raisin Bran, Lucky Charms, and Frankenberry. Okay, never mind. If your pet position is important to you in your conservative philosophy, where does it fall within these 4 pillars that I've suggested? Does your position respect the individual? Does it recognize the rights that are inherent in each of us? Does it hold you accountable? And does it promote a society that encourages the freedom of expression of those rights? If your position has those qualities, then I think the tent of conservatism covers your position. Let's use an example. Immigration. Let's pretend your position is that illegal immigrants have a right to stay in the United States. Those of you that have listened in the past know that I am the firstborn of immigrant parents. They came here just before I was born from Ireland by way of England and Germany. Does this position that illegal immigrants have a right to stay in the U.S. recognize the individual? Well, I would say so. You're saying, you know, each individual illegal immigrant has a right to be here. So we are looking at the individual. Does it recognize a right without infringing on other rights? I'm going to have to say that when someone enters the country illegally, they take a position from someone that's attempting to enter the country legally. But you can make an argument that the person has a right to be here. Certainly the left does. Does the position recognize responsibility? No, of course not. Illegal behavior violates the law. It is my responsibility to acknowledge the limits of my freedom of expression, of my rights, as it relates to other people. The law is our means of defining those limits. If you cross them, you've infringed upon others. Even if that limit is difficult to see, even if it's hard to see where the crossing has occurred, does that position promote a society that allows for greater freedom? If an unlimited number of people could come and go as they please, think of the damage to social services. Think of the expense of having to deal with those unexpected numbers. It would quickly grow out of hand. It certainly become an issue in states such as Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, California, where the vast number of illegal immigrants has created really big problems for the social services. It's your responsibility to be an educated citizen. It's your responsibility to be involved in the political life of your community. It does not require hours every day. It doesn't require a devotion at the expense of your family, although sometimes my family thinks that I'm a little bit too devoted to this, especially at 10:30 on a Tuesday night. But it does require attention. It does require action. Is there someone running for office in your community that could use a sign on your lawn? How about a few words to, you know, friends and family? Today, Victoria had her cast changed, and we had a guest visitor in the cast room at the time watching the cast being done. And I started talking to her a little bit about the American Conservative Party. And she seemed rather interested, and she asked me if we had a website. So I hope she got a chance to stop on there today. But it's just a little stepping out of ourselves. You know, it doesn't have to be real crazy marching with banners and placards, but just telling people. You know, it doesn't have to be much. What about giving $10 to a candidate? You know, it doesn't have to be 100 or 50. $10, it can be, $10 can be a lot of money for some people. $10 for me sometimes was a lot of money in the past. I haven't always seen very many people that I'm willing to even give $10 to, though. The biggest thing you can do as a conservative is to be informed and understand what your positions, what your conservatism means in the political arena. Did you like my welcome? We have learned behaviors that are not conservative. We have accepted limitations upon ourselves and our children because someone once said something that kind of sounded right. Did you ever wonder why we have so many welfare programs? Why the government spends billions to help people? Because one day somebody saw something pitiful, and instead of lending a hand or calling bad behavior bad, they wondered, why couldn't the government help? And when someone like me reasonably questioned the role of government, we were called callous, or greedy, or cold, or heartless. So we backed down, and those programs started. When someone needed it, it was the government that was given the authority and the responsibility to help. We abdicated our responsibility towards our neighbor. We abdicated our responsibility towards each other. But the failure didn't stop there. Once the responsibility fell to government, or was given to government, the authority went with it. You know, if I give $10 to somebody to help them out with something, I can have a reasonable expectation that they're going to use it to help themselves out, especially if I have, you know, some say in the process. Now, if I give somebody a gift, they get to spend it any way they want. But when we have given up the responsibility of helping people, of providing them those resources, and we've given that responsibility to government, government has the authority to say how it's going to be spent. We lose that ability. Government determines how the money gets spent. Government determines what its purpose will be. And this is a power that government should never have. We gave up the responsibility and the authority went with it. Government was never supposed to have this authority. But we abdicated that responsibility and the authority that went with it. And now government has power that it shouldn't have. Take your pet position, whatever it is, consider the consequences, and if it fits within the conservative tent, get out and be an activist. I've got somebody that would like to have a few words with me. You're on the air. Who is it?
Tracy, this is Bill Hinman. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So how do you like my tent?
You know, I like your tent. I think at least a little bit that your fourth pillar of American exceptionalism is really kind of derivative of the three others that go before it, that the individual is sovereign, that their rights pre-exist government, and that they are inherent in simply because they are. There's absolutely no question in terms of if you are sovereign, then you have responsibility. You have at least responsibility for yourself. And if you are a responsible person, then you also have a responsibility to your family. And
what
about
your neighbor? We've talked.
Well,
about
actually, I was going to. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Because that's where I think the American exceptionalism comes in. And the old code used to be, I will take care of myself, I will take care of my family, and I will take care of my neighbor. If my neighbor needs help building a barn, I'll help him build that barn. My neighbor gets burned out, I will help them rebuild their house, and I will donate some pots and pans and some bedding.
Do you have to? That's my question. Do you have to do that?
You don't have to do that. Nobody, if you are sovereign, you don't have to do anything other than look out for yourself. But if we talk about the responsibilities that go along with the rights, and if we actually subscribe to, I guess in the modern parlance, what goes around comes around, if I'm going to be a good neighbor, then yeah, I don't have to, but I will. And I will because I want to, not because somebody told me to, but because I want to. Because I want to see them prosper. I don't want to see them fail. Nobody wants to see somebody fail. I want to see them prosper. If what's standing in the way of their prospering is they need a temporary hand to do something that they can't do all by themselves, then sure, I'm going to help. I'm going to be there.
If the situation was reversed,
I would hope that they would do the same for me.
I think most conservatives absolutely believe that we have a responsibility, not an obligation, but a responsibility towards our neighbors, towards our friends, our family, towards our extended community.
I absolutely agree with that.
Am I being too picky with words? Is there a difference between responsibility and obligation?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
An obligation is something that I have to do. A responsibility is something I should do.
And our big problem with the liberal is they want to make government part of the process, which becomes an obligation on our part rather than
yes.
a responsibility.
And that is one of the things that I think that diminishes American exceptionalism. If I have a responsibility, that's one thing. But if I have an obligation because somebody else told me that, then we talk about a completely different kind of a thing. Why would the government have the power to tell me I have to help somebody else?
Let's consider Katrina.
Katrina is a good example. I have friends.
Power.
I have friends in my little bitty county that's got a total of 15,000 people in it, in the whole county, bigger than the states of Maine and New Hampshire put together, who went to Louisiana and helped people there on their own nickel. Didn't have to. Nobody told them they had to, but they did.
We gave, as a country, we gave billions of dollars to help the people affected by Katrina.
We did that.
Came around
but Tracy, I need to stop you there. Because people gave billions of dollars out of their own pocket, not the government's pocket. The government put money in there also, yes. But private donations went into Louisiana.
Sure. And one of my positions at the time was if the United States government said, we have this big natural disaster down in Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi, and we need to help those people, most people would say, well, yes. And then government said, everybody's taxes are going to go up $10 a year for the next 2 years. I think everybody would have went, what? Are you crazy? Are you insane?
Exactly.
But that's what happened.
I know.
Government spent money it didn't have, so that means it went to the American people and said, give us more for this
yes.
project.
That's right. That's exactly
right. And if you
right.
said no, if you said no, oh my God, if you said no, what kind of callous, cold-hearted SOB could you be? These are poor people that have been that have had their homes wiped out. I was stationed in Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi, which is about 1,000 yards off of the shore, the Gulf Shore. And I saw pictures of that neighborhood where the base is, and every house between the shore and that base was gone. I can't imagine that kind of devastation. But
yeah.
I also can't imagine government coming up to me and say, okay, $10 a year for you, you know, to help these people. Those people lived with hurricanes.
Yes,
they
do.
Every single year, they know they happen. And they chose to be there. You know, I feel really, really bad for them. I want to help them, but I simply am not comfortable with the idea that we have to fix stupid behaviors.
But you see, Tracy, I think you just stated the difference. You want to help them. It's not you want the United States government to help them. You want to help them, as
yes,
did I.
Absolutely. Although most people will tell you that I'm a little stingy with charity, only because I've been burned by it by a whole lot. Anyways, I think charity is a place we should have a conversation about in the future.
Yes.
We have about 35 seconds left, and I have to fix my cross-marketing thing. I did it.
That's exactly right. I was going to remind you of that.
Bill, thank you. We'll talk.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Good night.
This has been the American Conservative Party Radio. Please check out our website, AmericanConservativeParty.org. You can also check out your own state's website and see what we're about and find out, Are you part of the conservative tent? Good night.